You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday. Yes, we are well in between what we normally have as far as our daily podcast, and apologies for that. There will be a thorough explanation on that coming up on one of the several Thursday podcasts that we are releasing today. But anyway, we have a special guest for this one. It's been a long time of talking about doing this. We intended on doing this like the day after or 2 days after. It didn't happen. Jake Butt, former Michigan tight end, and now color commentator. He called the spring game for the Wolverines, the Mackey Award winning tight end. Super excited to have you back on, man.
Appreciate it. Yeah, man, it was fun. We'll get into the nitty gritty details of it. And for the people that are tuning into this podcast, seriously, feel free to comment. I do sometimes comment to the people back under your videos, Isaiah. So I'd love to hear what people thought, and you know, if there's any ways I could have been better in your opinion, or provided, you know, more or less, feel free to let me know, because that was the first game I'd ever called. I had a great time, but I want to ascend and be even better as time goes on.
Trying to open a can of worms there, Jake. Trying to open a can of worms.
That's right.
Certainly opening up to the masses on YouTube or Facebook. No offense to y'all watching or listening, but that's
no press is bad press, brother.
So first off, walk me through what the experience was like for you. I mean, I know firsthand that you put in a ton of preparation to get this thing going, that you did as much as you possibly could to be ready for that moment. And yeah, then you actually had the moment. Walk me through what the process was like for you to get ready for it, and what it was like actually being up there in the booth.
Yeah. So, I mean, originally they had asked me to do this a while back, and I said no, because I had a wedding that weekend. And as it was approaching, and I was, you know, going back and forth, I was kind of advised by some other people like, hey man, listen, you should probably do this, because this could potentially, you know, be the start of something really special. And I don't know if I necessarily even believed them at the time, but eventually came around to the idea. About 2 weeks before the game, I had my agent call Big Ten. I'm like, hey, is that spot still open? You got room? They said, yeah, come on board. So once we committed to that, it started the process of preparation and, you know, talking to other people in the business, Joel Klatt, you know, getting his thoughts. Jack Miller was a guy, Devin Gardner, another guy, just, you know, going into the building with Dave Abloff and Chad Shepard, and just anyone that's been a part of that world and that business, you know, trying to pick their brains, and super helpful, as is anything in life, man. You need a community and a network to bring you on board. But the preparation, as you specifically know, so shout out to you guys. Do you understand who you're listening to? Is a very, very rock solid dude and a very good friend. We've really became pretty close over the past fall. We've spent a significant amount of time together. So, I was back in town that week. A side note, Natalie, my fiance, drove my Jeep out to New Jersey. So I committed to the game and had to fly back here. I didn't have a car. All I had was an electric bike with about a 20-mile charge on it. So Isaiah was helping me prep for the game, helping me practice speeches. We spent multiple hours on the phone, but he was also helping me out when it was snowing in the middle of you know, late March, early April, as I couldn't drive my bike around. So,
and as a result, Jake knows a lot more about my personal problems. So,
as you do with mine, you know, it's one thing we talk about, just man to man, being able to be vulnerable with each other is a special thing. But listen, man, it is a lot that goes into it in order to have a successful broadcast. And I thought it went pretty well. I've rewatched it a couple times and studied myself. Definitely a lot of room to improve, but you know, you have to prepare a significant amount, and it's all up here in the cloud, up in the, you know, whatever the hell you want to call it. It's not here. It's all just floofing around in the metaverse, in the matrix. And then as the game's playing out, you have to be able to, you're observant of what you're seeing. And you have to be able to pluck from that cloud and know it well enough where, hey, if, you know, if Darius Clemens scores that big touchdown, you're like, oh, well, I know the coaches have been raving about his ability as an early enrollee this fall. You know, you have to know those kind of things. Donovan Edwards, I'd practiced in my head 100 times. Hey, this guy's a running back, but his real skill is his ability to win matchups in the passing game. You know, the new defensive linemen, all the new names, especially in a spring game, because as you get deep into the roster, and I know this because my own mother said this, everyone's parents are going to be at the game for the most part. They want to see their kid play. But for the guys that are deep low on the roster and probably aren't going to play in the season, this is their chance to be on TV and hear their name called. So I was super diligent about making sure I had the pronunciations of names down pat. So their parents could go home and be proud of hearing their name on TV. And overall, I thought it went well and thought we executed at a high level.
And I agree that you did, because I rewatched it, I believe the night of, as exhausted as I was from the day. And I was like, see, this is exactly what I knew you were capable of and exactly what you want from color commentator. So good job on that. And was super excited to see you rise from us doing Locked On Wolverines and X's and O's on Wolverines Wire to seeing you on TV, actually doing your thing. And
hey, quick shout out to Locked On. So I'm calling the Minnesota game on the 30th. I can't go in and watch practice. None of their YouTube, their coaches' media is on YouTube, which I was watching all the players' media and all the coaches' media, taking notes, things that were repeated. None of that. So I'm sitting here freaking out. Like, I gotta learn Minnesota now. Locked On Minnesota Gophers has got me down pat, an hour long on the offense, an hour long on the defense, wow, an hour long on the recruits. I've been able to connect with people in the media there. So we feel pretty good about the preparation, but shout out to Locked On giving the football fans what they need.
Well, Minnesota is in good hands, both with Locked On Minnesota and with you calling the spring game in Minneapolis. Hopefully the weather makes it enjoyable. You never know with how that goes, but we're going to talk a little bit about the actual spring game and just kind of, I guess, just generally kind of what we think of when it comes to where Michigan is at, because spring's been concluded for now 19 days. Well, kind of, they had a practice afterwards, but nonetheless, but before we move on and talk about that, Jake, obviously I've told you all about Built Bar. You've had some Built Bar before. And like I've said before, you know, it said to you and you attested to after I had it, it's delicious. It's like a candy bar, but it's a protein bar. Tastes like one. It's high protein, low calorie, low carb. It's everything that you want as far as that's concerned. I love peanut butter brownie, coconut brownie chunk. Those are my two favorites. Those are seasonal ones, but all the regular ones, toffee almond and coconut almond, all those are just phenomenal as well. It's low calorie, high protein, low carb, everything that you want out of a protein bar. And since they're only like 130 calories per, you can have two at a time. Be a glutton like me. And that makes it so that you can have that as a meal replacement. So don't delay. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. That's built.com, promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off of your next order of Built Bar. All right, so let's continue talking about I guess spring ball. I know it's well over now, but what else are we going to talk about? Winter conditioning or summer conditioning? That hasn't even started yet. I guess technically it has, but it's not quite in the full swing that it will be when the rest of the freshmen arrive in June. But nonetheless, Jake, what were your biggest takeaways being up in the box, looking down, seeing what you saw from this Michigan team? What were you able to take away? Because certainly you have an eye for things that is a little bit different than someone like me, or most, I would say probably 99.9% of the people that listen to or watch this podcast.
Well, I think we start with, you know, what were the question marks going into the game? What were the thing we were watching the game for? And I think that starts with, hey, you got two new offensive coordinators. You know, Sharon Moore is familiar. Matt Weiss is familiar. They were hired from within, but now they're assuming play calling duty. And they were on opposite side. Moore was coaching the blue team. Weiss was coaching the maize team. They both got a chance to shine there and show what they got. And then defensively, Jesse Minter and replacing all the guys that they're replacing on defense. A lot of talent, a lot of production, a lot of snaps and leadership is being lost. So those are the big question marks going into the spring game. Now, it's a spring game, so you can't evaluate the offense when half's on the maize team, half's on the blue team, and Cade's only playing so many series. You know, defensively, you can't exactly evaluate it either, but you do get to see some of the schemes. And one of the big things as we start with the defense is who's going to replace Aiden and David's production. That's 24 sacks lost to the NFL. I thought what we saw in the game was what I was assuming was going to be the answer is it's not going to be a new David and a new Aiden. Now the scheme is going to really shine. And Jesse Minter comes from that Baltimore Ravens tree, same as Mike McDonald. And if you guys watched Baltimore Ravens on Sundays, they have these exotic blitz packages. They're lining up people in different spots and they're bringing pressure from multiple looks. It makes it tough on an offense to pick it up. So you were able to see that in a game where either defense was generating pressure, sometimes from a good rush. Chris Jenkins had a nice sack in there, but sometimes it was from a timely, well thought out and organized pressure. So I thought the defensive scheme really shined through. And another guy, if you want to talk about an individual that stood out, was Mike Samerstill. I thought he looked phenomenal, and he had some opportunities downfield where that's a very tough job as a defensive back, where you're running full speed with another guy that's extremely fast, who's also running full speed. And you have to have your eyes in his hip pocket, but then also have the feel and the awareness to know when that ball's in the air, when to turn around, maintain your body position, and bat the ball away. And I thought Mike Samerstill really was a guy that showed up in flash, which is exactly what you want to see at that nickel corner spot. So defensively, you know, I saw what I was hoping to see, but you know, it's going to ultimately come down to what happens on those Saturdays in the fall.
And that's just the turning of the head. I know that Samerstill is kind of, I don't want to say new because he played that position in high school, but in a way new to that position, at least at Michigan, but he wasn't the only one that was turning his head. And I thought that was a big improvement. Mm-hmm. On what we had kind of seen over the last several years, because obviously the Mike Zordich school of playing cornerback, which I think is still a good one, it was more of, you know, watch the arms and stay, you know, just and then just put your hands in whenever you can. You're not necessarily looking for the ball, but that created for maybe when you don't have a Jordan Lewis on your team. Yeah. Or even I'll give him, this guy, a shout out, Channing Stribling, who I think continuously deserves it because he just continues to show he's a beast at every spring league pops up. Agreed. But when you don't have one of those types of guys, you're going to be a little bit more clutchy and grabby. And we saw that at times when, you know, Vincent Gray and Jamon Green were getting acclimated. Now we're seeing guys turn their head back and look for the ball. Yeah. I thought that was a really key change. Types of things that we hadn't seen in recent years.
Shout out to Steve Klinkscale. I thought when I was listening to his press conference, the presence he has, and when you've been in it long enough, you know when a coach has presence and speaks with conviction because he speaks from experience. And when he speaks and teaches you things that you then go try and ultimately execute in practice, the belief starts to really, really build and more guys buy in. And there was multiple plays by multiple players in that game where the same technique was applied of staying in that hip pocket and batting the ball. And that to me shows technique, which shows Steve Klinkscale doing an excellent job with the back end of that defense.
Yeah. And that's crucial because you have to keep in mind that this is Steve Klinkscale's first spring with Michigan because he was brought on after spring ball because Mo Linguist left the program right after spring ball to take that Buffalo head coaching job. So now he's able to get to those details. Speaking of the defense, I think the area, I hate that this is always, I feel bad for constantly being like the biggest question mark I have for this Michigan team is not just the defense, but it's the linebackers. It's always been, it's been that way for several years, right? And it was going into the spring game, but I ended up really liking what I saw from the linebacking core. Still a little bit, I think, confused as to what it will look like when the season comes due to the fact that, again, we have split squads and everything like that. But what did you see as far as the linebacking core and who really stood out to you in the spring game?
I mean, frankly, you know, no one really flashed. No one really stood out. I thought guys, but no one's, that's also a good thing because you don't want guys standing out the wrong way either. But again, it's tough, man. It really is tough because when you, I think this defense is going to play as a collective unit. So to evaluate anyone when they're split is, it's kind of going to do them a disservice. I think, as we talked about, it's going to be the scheme and the way they play amongst each other that's going to really shine. But I don't know, it's necessarily a concern of mine. I think Junior Colson, I mean, he's a freshman All-American, looks to be ready to take a massive leap this fall. And a guy that says, hey, you know, if you play your cards right, you do it well, you could be out of here in 2 years making seven figures playing ball in the NFL. So I think that's a guy that could really take a step forward. And another one is Nakai Hill-Green. Seems like, you know, he's in the mix. And, you know, it'll be a group effort as they sort that out. I think Junior Colson's got the one spot locked down. But, you know, ultimately, it's got to be the group. It's got to be, you know, you're going to need three or four guys at the linebacker position. You're going to need your front four or five guys to eat up double teams to free these guys up, and they're going to need to take advantage. So, again, we're going to hold any emotional takes for the fall and see what these guys do on Saturday. But overall, you know, you got to be a bit satisfied with how they played.
All right. I have a couple questions about the offense, but we'll get to that here in a moment. Cause I do want to, take the quick pause, but for sure want to talk about the offense and then kind of a broader question for you. Something I'm going to qualify more on a later podcast as well, but I want your thoughts. But before we do, listen, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find out the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Jake, we just got a couple minutes left here. Offensively, obviously, considering that that's the position that you played, I mean, I think that there was just a lot to like. I know that it didn't necessarily look like it was really that it would like that they weren't really banging down your door to show like how explosive it could be. It wasn't necessarily the type of thing that you would see at maybe like an Ohio State or an Alabama. I don't think that that was what Michigan wanted to do either. For the sake of, I think that they're, you know, they're trying to figure out where some pieces maybe fit that they haven't, you know, necessarily utilized. And obviously we saw Alan Bowman and Davis Warren battle it out, but what were your takeaways just kind of offensively? And I think particularly one unit that we aren't talking about enough is the unit that you played in, tight end. I feel like that has the possibility of being, ultimately, it could be the best tight end room in the country, to be honest.
It's up there. I mean, they absolutely got the potential to as a collective group, led by Eric All and Luke Schoonmaker. But, you know, you didn't get to see too much of those guys in the game. They always are very solid in the run, but they're just complete guys. And they've been in this program now where they're true veterans. And it's always nice. There's always plenty of stuff to worry about in a football team, in a football program. When you have a position like this position, that's, you sleep easy at night. You never have to worry about the tight ends with the room they have there. So definitely looking for those guys to be a big piece of the offense. And based off that, you know, what's going to help them be a bigger piece is the run game. And, you know, what we saw out of Blake Corum early, looks like he's finally back, fully healthy, looked explosive, you know, was able to run within the scheme, but also was able to break a couple off the edge. And be a true creative artist that he can also show he can be. And then, of course, Donovan Edwards. What did we say? What did we just talk about? His ability to win in the pass game. And they came to him, I think, three or four times early. They were getting flexed out in empty packages. He caught the one go ball down the sideline, but he also ran a couple slants in the game. So You know, to have two guys out of the backfield that are weapons in their own unique way. And another guy that flashed, probably looking to lock down that third running back spot, is Tavier Dunlap. I thought he had a great game, ran, had some hard-nosed runs, looked really solid, and looks like a guy that, hey, if his number's called, you feel pretty good about it. So, you know, that's a tight end in the running back group. I mean, you want to hit on the O-line right now? You want to hit on the quarterbacks? Or the
we can hit on all of it. Let's just, if you've got thoughts, let's keep going.
Quarterback battle. What do you guys want me to say? What do you, is it Cade versus JJ? Is it, all right, that's what we got to say, right? I mean, it's Cade versus JJ. I thought Davis Warren did look good. But we're going to be talking about Cade and JJ, and that's just the way it is. Hard. I'm not going to say that's an easy thing for Cade to do, trying to navigate both offenses. I mean, you know, would have liked to see them put some drives together a little bit more, but that's just the way it shakes out sometimes in football. I'm not emotional in either direction about it. And obviously didn't get to see JJ play. So that battle is going to go long into fall camp. Didn't see anything in that practice nor throughout the spring that really created enough separation. It seems to be Cade's job to lose from everything Coach Harbaugh said, though. Across the offensive line, you're losing some talent, but you're bringing some back and creatively using the transfer portal to get Olu Oluwatimi in there at center. You feel real solid. You got your three anchors at left tackle, left guard, and right guard. They're all returning. Great. That's a solid 60% of your offensive line. Then you're bringing a Remington Award finalist in at center, plugging him right in. And at right tackle, it looks to be Trente Jones. But, you know, I think talent is only part of the picture when it comes to an offensive line. When I was in buildings, offensive lines kind of moved. I wouldn't call it a click. They weren't clicky, maybe sometimes. But those dudes roll together. You know, they're unique. It's a thankless job. They're big. They like to eat a bunch of food together. Like that's the group that rolls together. And it's important to have a coach that emphasizes that so you can get five dudes playing as one unit. They're big brute dudes, but they're highly intelligent. Offensive line is a very mentally daunting task. There's a lot that goes into it. So when you have a group that plays as one unit, which has been the truth every single year, Sherrone Moore has coached the offensive line. That's what you feel mostly confident about. You got the talent, but then you also have the man in the room leading those guys, and they love him to lead them to glory and gel them as one unit. And then last but not least, the receivers. Again, I don't know that there's as much mystery as for us to really talk about. I think Ronnie Bell coming back is going to be huge. I think Andrell Anthony is a guy that can be extremely special. I think he got one target in the spring game. You know, he'll get more in games in the fall. Cornelius Johnson, we know what he is. I want him to take a step forward this year. If you want the chance to play on Sundays, showing up on special teams, being a gunner, doing everything you can to help the team, Cornelius Johnson could be a guy that carves out a really nice role and an even bigger role than he had last year. He made some nice plays. Sainer still gone to defense. Okay. AJ Henning, unique guy playing in the slot. They used him a lot in different ways last year, whether it was jet sweeps or wide receiver reverses, but AJ Henning, a guy that they've moved all over the field. We got to see him at running back a little bit, and he's been playing running back all spring. So he's a guy they say, hey, this guy can be a Debo Samuel type role. So it should be creative on offense. And you got some of those young guys. You saw Darius Clemens with the touchdown. For these two new offensive coordinators, you have a plethora of talent and a plethora of weapons to go into. And I think the big thing to tie it all back in together is that early portion of the schedule, the out-of-conference schedule, looks to be a nice ramp up into the season. Michigan should be favored in all of those games. So that's important with all these new pieces and new coordinators for them to get a rhythm and flow, find out their identity as you go into Big Ten play and ultimately try to repeat this year.
And that's kind of one of the overarching things that I wanted to bring up here. And I'm going to talk about this on another Thursday podcast today. I thought it was really interesting. I really like Mike Farrell, formerly of Rivals. He's on his own right now. He and I've had a good working relationship. We've never met in person or anything like that, but he's been very supportive of me, even though I don't think we've ever had like a conversation. But I have to put him on blast right now, because he put out a top five. He did it twice, and then actually he did it three times. He did it on 2 days ago on Tuesday, and then he deleted that, and then he changed it and deleted that, and then he did it again this morning or last night. He had a top five in the Big Ten, and I don't remember the exact order, but it was something like this: number five, Iowa; number four, Michigan State; number three, Wisconsin; number two, Purdue; number one, Ohio State. Someone's missing in there. And then he went on and tried to justify on YouTube today and said, you know, listen, I think that Michigan was riding on everything last year and they're just not going to have it this year. Have the fact that this is a Michigan team that returns basically its entire offense. And yeah, you've got to replace a lot on defense. I felt like what we saw in the spring game is evidence that this is still one of the teams, if not the team to beat in the Big Ten. I'm sure Ohio State, you can go ahead and say that they're still the team to beat because they've got a track record of continuing to do it. Where do you think that after seeing, I know you haven't seen everybody, you're about to see Minnesota live in person here next week. What do you make of that thought? Where do you think Michigan stands at the moment as far as the Big Ten pecking order?
Yeah, definitely not outside of the top five. I'll tell you that right now. I'd be more shocked than not, you know, if they found themselves outside of the top five. I mean, there is some question marks. You are losing talent. You are losing coordinators. So there is some things that will have to be proved in the Saturdays this fall. But remember this, going into last offseason, Michigan, well, they were not projected to even make the Big Ten. Their over-under win was 7.5. So I think people will be surprised sometimes about how much culture and love for one another and leadership matter. In all my conversations with anyone in the building and being around the limited practices I was, those guys love to compete and they love to play football and they are committed to winning. So that gives me more confidence than anything. And I think they have enough talent that they can compete for a repeat. It won't be easy. And they're going to have to go through some tough teams. You know, one thing to note as you look at that schedule, because, you know, some of it's luck where the schedule falls, you got Michigan State and Penn State at home. That's great.
You know, the bye week separating them too.
What's that?
And you got a bye week to separate.
And a bye week. And then you know, the tough ones are you travel to Ohio State. And then the tough one, I'd be shocked if they didn't make this a night game because that's what they're going to do, right? We have to travel to, or Michigan has to travel to Iowa to play potentially a night game. And that has been a place, night game or not, that we have struggled. And it's a really tough stadium to play in. They got the pink locker rooms. Not that that ever matters, but they've struggled. So those are the four games, I think, that make and break your season as you look at it, is how are those four games going to shake out? If you can come out, you know, if you can come out with two of the three as they did last year as a floor, you would like all three of them. If you can come out victorious in two of those three games and you head into Ohio State with one loss, there it is. You know, your whole season's in front of you. So I don't see them falling out of the top five as you look at the way the schedule plays out and the expectations. Can't see it. I think they got a good chance to compete.
I agree. And I think it's one of those things that's just out there to try to get attention and whatever. Cause that's like, you know, that would be like the hot take of being like, you know, let's look at the SEC and being like, all right, well, you know, Alabama's still Alabama and, you know, well, Ole Miss is really coming up and, you know, Tennessee's really recruiting well. And, you know, LSU's probably in a better spot with Brian Kelly and let's name another one, Florida. And then be like, wait, what about Georgia? Like, well, yeah. You know, like that's kind of what it is. It's funny to me that other teams like Penn State gets the benefit of the doubt, right? When they're like, if they're bad and then like you get into the offseason, it's like, well, they're going to be good. And then if they're good, it's like, they're that next team ready to turn the corner. Same thing with Wisconsin, Michigan does it. It's amazing to me. And I'm going to save this for my later rant.
That's how it goes.
It's amazing to me. It's like Michigan finally does the things that everyone's kind of been waiting for. And it's like, well, it's not going to happen again. Okay. All right. Fine.
It takes time. The goal, frankly, is to be in Ohio State or Bama where it becomes the expectation. Like it's, you know, no one has questioned Ohio State in the past decade. They have been the favorite every year. it takes multiple years of winning it. You need to win 2 or 3 out of 5 years for you to then become that team, you know? So they, the first step's done. They won the Big Ten championship last year. Now the challenge is can you repeat it and consistently compete? Then you, that's when you change the narrative.
Yep, I agree. Jake, super excited that we finally got to do this after talking about doing it for like a month, basically. Remember, it was like a month ago, literally, that I was like, all right,
so it was
like
a month ago. Yes.
Like, you know, as soon as you get done with the spring game that week, and things just haven't gone as well on my end over here. So appreciate you day of me finally saying, all right, let's make it happen today. I appreciate you saying, yeah, let's do it. So
it's been long overdue, man. So it's good to be here.
All right, man. Well, we will talk to you all soon. Again, look, if this is Thursday or if it's Friday, and you are looking, you're hearing this, this is the first podcast here. And guess what? There's going to be two more coming out on Thursday. So check those out, because we are just going to kind of try to play catch up here. But thank you for watching and or listening. Lockdown Wolverines podcast. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull. That's Jake Butt. Let's see if I'm on camera that way. Okay. That's always backwards. Your Mackey award-winning tight end. And hopefully soon, not hopefully, this is going to happen. He's going to be on TVs on your TVs on Saturdays, because that's just how it's going to work. But anyway, thank you for watching and or listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.